You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. I almost forgot my last name for a moment there. On today's episode, we're gonna be talking about case studies. So a quick story here before we get into the conversation. I was on a call with a large SaaS company the other day, and we were talking about their positioning of their website and how well they speak to the ideal client they are hoping to attract into their user base for their software. And I said to them, you know, you have all this technical stuff on the website, all these different features, these tools that sets you apart, you believe, from all the competitors out there who don't have that same, you know, lineup of different features on their software. But the thing that I think resonates with the people you want is what your software does for their business. And you have that on your website, but I can't find it anywhere on the navigation. And what I was referring to were these videos that are hiding in the deep back end of their website, where they basically are success stories of the companies that have used this tool to grow their business, grow their revenue, increase the number of leads that they have. And these are the stories that have extreme emotional impact and relevance to the people they're trying to attract as their new users. Well, this guy didn't even know that they had these videos in their possession, this amazing library of marketing assets. And so I'm really excited to dive into this concept of case studies as a critical tool in growing your business. And I imagine they can be used in a number of ways that I've probably never even thought about. And so to help us through this conversation, this exploration of the use of leveraging case studies, I'd like to welcome Anfernee Chansamuth, who is joining. And I, by the way, I did know his last name. I just wanted to make sure I pronounced it correctly. He's joining us from Sydney, Australia, where it's nice and early in the morning as I'm enjoying my lazy afternoon here. Anfernee, thanks so much for joining us.
Delighted to be here, David, and I love the context that you laid out for our listeners here, and I've seen that come up so many times with SaaS businesses, with professional services, and the types of clients that we deal with as well. And so it's quite common, actually, shockingly.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to sort of step back for a moment and talk about what, in fact, a case study is or can be, because this is an area that you, as a marketing professional, your agency actually specializes in, if I understand correctly.
100%. Yeah, we focus on creating those, capturing those stories that actually help businesses to sell more.
Okay. So, you know, I was referring to video case studies. I've seen case studies take lots of different forms, discuss lots of different things, and, you know, whether it's technical stuff or emotional stuff. Can you sort of paint us a picture of what a case study can be for a business?
Absolutely. There are various formats. We primarily focus on two types. So we capture the case study in video format, because that gives us the ability to then, you know, put that onto places like YouTube and embed that in social media and specific landing pages that you can direct your client, your prospective customers to. And then from the video, we then extract and repurpose into a long form article format. So written format that goes onto the website, and also can then be utilized through, you know, whether it's your email marketing, we can embed it within a proposal. You talked about sales and the role this, you know, case studies can play in the buying process. We certainly, our clients do that. And then there are some other creative ways that I can talk about later, when we go through, just the framework. So I've got a framework that is all about how do you craft a compelling case study? Because it's not simply a case of putting a client on a video and just talking for 10 minutes and saying, hey, what did you think of our service? It's a bit more nuanced than that. And I know you had another Aussie, you had Deidre Tsien on your podcast previously.
Yeah.
I talked about engaging and connecting customers through stories, right? So this is a relevant follow-up to that episode. It's not just about where you're putting the stories, but it's also about how you're capturing those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, if I remember correctly, she is now a transplant and she is living in the U.S. So
that's all right. She's in New York City now.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about where do you want to start first? I'd love to hear about the framework, but I also want to sort of talk a little bit about how and where case studies are used most effectively, because obviously, you know, the go-to is the example I was using before, and you brought it up, is in the sales process, but I imagine they have plenty of other applications as well.
Yeah. So let's set the context and we'll zoom out to the bigger picture, because I know you love the strategy. That's how you work with your clients. And then you say, okay, well, this case studies is a tactic, but what's the strategy behind that, right? And why, when and where, and why would we utilize it, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of alluded to it with the story you started with. I believe you're familiar with Donald Miller of StoryBrand.
Sure.
Yeah, so there's a quote here from Donald where he basically says that the customer is the hero of our brand story, not us. When we position our customer as the hero and ourselves as the guide, we will be recognized as a sought-after character to help them along their journey, right? And that's really what case studies are all about. It's about, hey, you know, because the question in a prospective buyer's mind is, you know, can you do, can you deliver on the promise that you say you can deliver, and can you more specifically do it for a business like mine, right? Yeah. And then it's show me the proof, yeah. And that goes into, I guess, what I would say let's look at the top, our main goals when we're trying to sell, right? The first thing we want to do is we want to establish credibility. So we want to demonstrate our expertise and authority, right? We've been in this business for in this industry or in this space for some time. We've worked with a number of clients. We have specific results that we can share with you. Number two, we want to build trust. Okay. So we want to set clear expectations around what that engagement looks like, right? So, you know, if you book a strategic call with us tomorrow, from there, what happens, right? If you were to purchase our services or sign up and we go on some kind of, you know, agreement to work together, what does that look like, right? And then the third goal really with selling is to demonstrate leadership, and the client wants to feel like you're leading them through the journey, because again, you're the guide, right? And they're the ones trying to find that their way. If there's any confusion or ambiguity in your sales process, right? And like you say, that they're scrambling and stumbling around your website and they can't find these stories, then that's a problem, because mm-hmm. now they've lost confidence in your ability to guide, okay? So that's kind of talking about on a higher level of sales. And then let's look at case studies and why they're so effective in the marketing and sales process, right? So there's five key reasons. The first one is they provide social proof. And if you've ever read, talking to our listener here, I know you probably have, Dave, if you've ever read Influenced by Cialdini.
Yep. In fact, I have it right over my shoulder here.
Oh, there you go. I can. Perfect.
So we got both Influence and Persuasion. There you go.
Yeah, he'd be a great guest. I don't know if you've had him on the show yet, but he'd be amazing to chat with. And there's a chapter in Influence where he talks about this specific context about social proof and how we as humans rely on, you know, others having the experience first before we jump in and also leap into that. There is a small percentage of the population called the early adopters who are crazy enough to go and want to try everything first, but the majority of people don't want to be that. So number one, case studies give us social proof. Number two, it gives us context. Okay. So it's, you know, think of the before and after picture, you know, mm-hmm. like the personal trainer. Why do you think they put image photos, before and after photos on Instagram of their clients? Right, it's because we can see the transformation straight away, and we can say, "Oh, that's what you do," and that, right? So we're more likely to engage in B2B in services. We want to do the same thing. We want to provide that context. This is what it was like before they signed up with us, and this is what it was like after they signed up with us, right? Number three, you talked about credibility and trust. So certainly case studies build those. Number four, in terms of sales, case studies can be utilized to reduce sales objections or any questions. And this comes back to my point around demonstrating leadership and establishing credibility is, you know, what are the common challenges or objections that come up when you're having a sales conversation? We can really address those before they even get on the call with you, right? Before they start, you know, whether it's a webinar, whatever way you sell, a good case study will actually address some of those of key objections, right? And that increases the buying probability. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we go into just the final point here is and to your question, David, where do we use it throughout the process or throughout the journey? It's effective. Case studies can be effective in multiple touch points. And we're talking about the entire customer journey. So from the awareness stage where they're searching for a solution to a problem, right? We can have a different conversation on SEO, but one thing that we've been doing for our clients is optimizing the articles that we produce for them for SEO. And so when someone types in, you know, the name of a company, right? And if our client has served that company, what happens is their case study comes up on page one of Google, and now they're clicking through to learn more about, what's this story and what happened here? And that leads to a potential conversation or a potential lead coming through, right? So that's in the awareness stage. And then we go into the research stage, obviously important there when they're researching your solutions, when they're evaluating your services and product. We're going down to the buying stage we talked about earlier. And then even after they've made the purchase, when you're onboarding your client, right? That's a good place to share and remind them, okay? Because sometimes when we buy, we have buyer's remorse, mm-hmm. right? And we're like, oh my gosh, I just invested, you know, 10K into this service or whatever it is. Did I make the right decision? And a nice thing to do at that point in time from our perspective, the service perspective, is why don't we share three case studies of businesses like theirs that we've supported, and just remind them, yes, we have been able to support businesses like yours, and we're looking forward to kicking off with you real soon. All right. And so that's in that onboarding phase. And then right at the end, once you've completed the engagement and you've served the client really well, right, then we're talking about advocacy and inviting the client back now at this point to say, hey, we really loved working with you for the last 90 days or whatever your time period is. We'd love to feature you as a case study for our business and share the amazing work that you're doing, you know, in your industry. Would you like to do that? And so then now, you know, we've come full circle. So now the client, you know, is we're giving them some love, and we're actually featuring them in our stories and promoting them to our audiences, right? So multiple touch points across the entire customer journey.
So what I heard as you were going through all of those points was the ability to swap out the words case study for testimonial. However, as I was thinking through this, I was thinking, wow, a case study is far more powerful, has more, is multidimensional in a way that a testimonial may not necessarily be. But the first moment that idea came into my head was when you were sort of talking about the structure of the framework and asking the right questions to get the right answers, right? We do that with testimonials, or we should be doing it with testimonials, is making sure that you're asking somebody to, you know, reveal where they were before and how the engagement has, you know, transformed either where they are now or where they're going, et cetera. But as I'm thinking about it, a case study is less salesy. It's a little bit more approachable. And I was thinking, for those of you who are, as I am, big copywriting geeks, very Gary Bensavenga in style, because he talks about proof as a critical element in selling. And as you were describing this, I was thinking, well, this is so much better as proof, as a proof element in marketing and in general, than a testimonial, which is sort of, you know, assumed to be blatantly a marketing piece, right? A promotional, a supporting piece for promotion.
1,000%. You've nailed the psychology behind, and this is a common question I get, you know, what's better, a case study or a testimonial? And I used to say, look, case study, just as you've articulated, case studies are much more powerful in its development, in what you're presenting, and what the receiver receives, right? I'm not against testimonials. There's a place and a time for those, right? So if you're obviously a restaurant and you want people, you want to show up in Google Maps when someone's searching for, you know, someone's visiting New York City or Sydney or whatever, and they're like, let me find a cafe. You want to show up and you want to have 100 reviews done on Google, right? So that's a relevant place and time for that. Perhaps it wouldn't make sense for you to have long form case studies, 30 minute interviews with your customers, you know, in your cafe. It's not likely to happen anyway. Could be a differentiating factor, but certainly to your point, case studies are much more compelling when it comes to we're speaking specifically to B2B, right? Like in that bias, maybe you're dealing with organizations that have multiple decision makers, or it's got to go through a team. It's got to go through, you know, a CEO and a CFO and different people in different chairs with different perspectives on what they're looking for, right, before they sign the deal. So case studies are much more effective. If you pass a testimonial to these people and it's literally just one, you know, two sentences that says, we love David Baer, right, and there's doubt, naturally we're just doubting beings and we say, well, you know, did they pay for that review? Did they write it themselves? Right, these things happen. And you'll see within our framework that we actually embed within the framework a testimonial, right? So we actually include that because we want the expression of the client. We want them to say in their own words, what was it like to work, you know, with your service or your business? Mm-hmm. And then we can then utilize that in different places as we need to. If we need to put it into a trust pilot, or we need to put it into Google, or we need to, you know, put it in a quick punchy social media post, right? Because you can't put obviously 1,000 words, and well, you could, but it wouldn't work so well in a social media post. So, time and place for it, and certainly yes, case studies are much more powerful in the process.
Now, I also want to highlight one other piece that I heard from you that. It's very uncommon, and it's that you talked about utilizing it after the purchase or after the transaction to sort of preempt buyer's remorse. And I love this psychology. It's something that we actually teach, is how can you sort of have a quick big win or do something to get the person to sort of pat themselves on the back and say, well, I knew I was investing in this, but wow, am I really smart? I'm so proud of myself for making this decision. And I think that, you know, a case study being shared, particularly a very relevant case study from a similar type of client, can be incredibly powerful. I've never thought of that before. That's brilliant.
Yeah, we've seen clients use it and encourage clients to do that. This comes from Joey Coleman in The First 100 Days. He's, mm-hmm. you know, he's a book on that, and he's got a great talk on it on YouTube. And just that idea, of course, there's delight, surprise and delight your clients with certain things, but just reminding them, you know, hey, yeah, you've made a good decision here, right? And we're going to back it up, right? And so let's start off with what we've already done, and let's remind you of that, and then let's get into it, and we kick off the process. The other place which I haven't mentioned is using it for your team. So when you're onboarding new staff or new team members, and you're enrolling them in your culture, and you're sharing within that package, you're sharing, hey, well, here's some customer success that we've had, right? Yep. And here are the type of customers we work with. Take a look at these, right? And that's a good way to educate your team members as well.
So here's an example of that in practice, because I just came back from the Keep, formerly known as Infusionsoft, partner conference. And so this is all the marketing agencies and other sort of professional partners who sell and support Keep for small businesses around the world. And they showed 3 different testimonial/case study videos to this audience of people who are basically partners and, or, you know, sort of the equivalent of, you know, team members. And it did, it had the exact effect that you're describing, which I think is great. It's reinforcing, hey, this is why we're all doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and as a partner, this is what you're going to experience. Yes. And exactly right, right? And so you're walking away thinking, oh, yeah, I love partnering with Keep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, I don't want to shortchange us on the time that we have left, because you have an entire framework to share with us. And so why don't we dive into that now?
All right. So let's run through the 7 P's. I call it the 7 P's because you'll see why, but pretty straightforward. It's a framework for crafting a compelling case study. As a copywriter, a copywriting geek, I think you'll appreciate the nuances of this process. But certainly we start off with our punchy headline. That's the first P. And we want to grab attention. Now, whether it's a video, right, or whether it's an email or it's a article, right, I'm thinking in my mind, the article format here when I go through the framework, but it applies to all those different modalities. So we start off with a punchy headline. We want to grab the prospective buyer's attention with a metric driven result, right? So I see a lot of case studies that are, just, I'll call them fluffy and they're really, it's unclear, you know, oh, XYZ customer had a, you know, worked with us. But it's not clear what was the benefit.
You say fluffy, is it vague? Does it not include it? Okay.
Yeah, 100%. It's not, you know, when you, and I see, I don't want to like say an entire industry is guilty of this, but certainly I've seen is working with certain coaches and business coaches and more so sort of the wife in the wellness and lifestyle space, mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, the customer had felt amazing after our coaching.
It's not tangential enough.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not tangential, but it's not something you can wrap your mind around. Well, how would I feel that way? It's not
right. Yeah, okay. And it's like, and I in a press when I've, you know, consulted with wellness coaches, I've said, you know, but what's the actual result? What's the actual metric? Right. So it's important you mention whether it's dollar value, whether it's growth percentage, whether it's time saved, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, let's be clear, right? For your business and your service that you provide for your client, what is it that you've helped them achieve? Okay. Punch headline. Number two, profile the customer, right? So here we're giving our clients that, you know, 5 minutes of fame, if you will, or 5 seconds of fame. And we really, this is important for two reasons. One, it's giving love to our customers, because remember, we've invited them to come and be part of this, and they've, you know, agreed to be involved, and so we want to profile them. Hey, what kind of work are they doing? What amazing things are they doing in their industry? What's going on with them? Number two is, you know, from a selling perspective, we want to clarify what type of business are they, what category do they fit into, right? If you service multiple industries or multiple customer segments, right? A rule of thumb here is one case study per segment. You don't want to, and be clear, for this case study, we're talking about e-commerce businesses. We're talking about a medical clinic that we work with, right? Be very specific. What type of business are we serving here? Number three, third P is problem statement. Here we're getting clear on what the challenges were when the clients were looking for a solution that we provide. This is the context piece. This is the before picture that the personal trainer mm-hmm. put on their Instagram, right? And we want to get into a bit of granular detail here. Like when I'm questioning someone or doing an interview with the client, I'll dig into, you know, hey, what were you doing before? What have you tried before? What were you trying before you signed up with David? What other service did you have an agency before that you were working with? What were the ones you were evaluating, right? We want to know that information because one, it actually helps our buying process because we know, oh, this is what our you know, prospective customers are doing. And then it just paints a picture for the person who's reading the case study. Because maybe they're going through a similar journey and they're like, yeah, I've been trying these things too. And I was actually considering signing up with this service, whatever. And this is really good information, right?
Yeah.
So problem statement number four is process. So now we're detailing the steps that you took to solve the problem. Okay. And this is where you're showing, you're demonstrating your expertise. This is where you're building that credibility, right? So you're saying, okay, here is our methodology, right? Mm-hmm. So we took this client through our five steps to X, right? And let's detail what that looks like. Maybe you've got a nice visual display version of that, so you can embed that within the piece. But certainly, you want to have, you know, talk through that. Now, I've got an example. I worked with an accounting firm, and what we did, we interviewed the client. At the same time, we actually sent some questions over to the delivery team within that company, and specifically the account manager, the bookkeeper that worked with the client, and said, can you just tell us, you know, just in bullet point format, what were the steps that you went through to solve this problem? They came back with 10 different steps, all right? And we condensed it down because it's very technical. It was very, so for you got to keep the reader in mind. And it's like, does the reader want to read all that? And you don't want to overwhelm them necessarily, but you want to give them enough. And we did that. And so you can actually see, you know, there were three clear distinct phases in the support process. And within that, here were some activities that were done. And even and this is the thing, until the client saw that, they were not even clear that that was what happened, right? So it confirmed, I suppose, to the client that was involved in the case study that they paid for a high value service, right? And the reason why their fees were so high compared to maybe other competitors was because of this. Like, these are the things that were happening, right? So that's step four, the process. Step five is the payoff, what we call the payoff. And this is what I talked about earlier. This is where we're actually capturing the end result. And where I love that you mentioned it's not just the technical, but it's also the emotional, right? What's going on emotionally for the client or the human involved? Mm-hmm. And we want to talk about, okay, we saved you 10 hours a month. What did that mean for you on a day-to-day basis, right? If you're talking to the founder or the CEO, maybe it's like, oh, well, that actually meant I got a day off work and I actually spent more time with my kids. Fantastic, right? Because that's what a lot of CEOs are struggling with. Yep. So we want to mention that, right? And then we move into the 6P, which is praise. And this is the client testimonial, okay? This is where we're capturing it in their words. We say, Mr. or Mrs. Miss Client, you know, if you were sitting at a bar or, you know, at a cafe with your buddy, what would you say to them about this experience? You know, how would you explain it to them in your words, right? And so we capture that. Important that it's in their words, of course, because, you know, humans speak like humans and they don't speak like specialists that are made in through jargon that doesn't make sense to anyone. And so we want to make sure we put that into the story. And they're great for repurposing later on, as we talked about earlier. And then the seventh P is our, what we call our proposing the next step, right? In marketing speak, that's the call to action. Okay. So now you've taken someone through a journey, right? Literally you've taken them through what happened before, what happened during, what happened after. And they're going, yep, I've got the same problem. I'm the same type of business. I can see you've done the work. You've got a methodology. I want to know more. Okay. How do I contact you, David? What's the next step? Right. And so then you might say, okay, download my guide or a propose, you know, here's a 10 minute webinar. Here's a book a call link, whatever it is that's relevant for your buying process. That's the framework, the seven P's. Let me just quickly recap because there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. So one, punchy headline, two, profile customer, three, problem statement, four, process, detail the process, five, mention the payoff, six, we mention the praise from the client, and then seven, we propose our next step.
Wow. Well, that was a mouthful, and I was taking notes. I don't know if you noticed as you were going through that, because I love those the way that you broke those down. And by the way, sometimes we have to find a thesaurus to find a word that starts with P that means the next thing. And so well done with the proposing the next step. I want to propose the next step here because clearly I could be talking to you forever on this subject, but we have to wrap things up. And I know that there's a lot more about case studies that you have to share. You have a guide that's on your website. It's a good solid 14-minute read. I've looked through it a little bit, and I think that would be great to share with our listeners. And so, where can folks find that if you're open to sharing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a free guide. It's about three. I think it's around 3,000 words. It includes things to expand on what we talked about here. There's tips for creating we go through the 7 P's, but in more detail. We talk about case study formats, right? What are the different formats that you can create them in? And we've also got quotes from successful businesses on how they're using case studies. I interviewed HubSpot a few months ago. They've got 440 case studies on their website. Mm. So this is a SaaS product, a leading SaaS product, as you know, David. And they heavily invest in case studies for all the reasons we covered today. So to check out that guide, just head over to simplecreativemarketing.com/case-study-guide, one word. And you can check that all out there. There's no opt-in required. There's a bonus webinar that you can jump on to if you want to look at that.
Brilliant. I love it. I'll make sure that we have the link to that in the show notes as well. So, wow, this has been a lot. You packed a lot of information to a tight little 30-minute conversation. And thank you for speaking as quickly as you do.
I appreciate that, David. Thanks for having me on today.
Indeed. So, Anfernee Chansamuth. How'd I do?
Nailed it.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You can be found over at simplecreativemarketing.com. And again, that guide that you mentioned is simplecreativemarketing.com/case-study-guide, all one word. And I do encourage folks to head over and check it out. There's a lot of great information, a lot of brilliant examples of what you were talking about, visuals, videos as well, that can be really useful. And I'll be digging into that and sharing it with my team as well. So, Anthony, thank you so very much for hanging out with me.
Appreciate it, David. Thanks for connecting over the ocean today.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. We hope to see you back here real soon. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't hesitate to share it with somebody who could benefit too. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.